An NPR PBS NewsHour Marist poll out today shows Joe Biden leads the presidential race by 11 points over President Trump. And just 31% of people surveyed say they can trust the information coming from the president about the pandemic.
Meanwhile, Trump and Biden have sparred over the past 24 hours over the issue of wearing masks to prevent the spread of COVID-19, funding for the post office to run mail-in voting during the pandemic, and false allegations that Biden's running mate, Kamala Harris, is not legally qualified to run for vice president. Margaret Tolove is politics and White House editor at Axios. Margaret, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
And Sahil Kapoor, national political reporter for NBC News. Sahil, welcome to you.
Great to join you.
And let's start with President Trump yesterday, once again fanning the flames of birtherism. It's a tactic that he used against Barack Obama a couple of years ago. Now, yesterday, he wouldn't disavow a conservative legal scholar's false claim that Kamala Harris can't run for vice president because her parents didn't have full American citizenship when she was born in Oakland, California.
I have no idea if that's right. I would have assumed the Democrats would have checked that out before she gets chosen to run for vice president.
Well, Margaret, it is not right. Why is President Trump doing this again?
Yeah, I mean, just to be clear, it's not right. She was born in California. She's an American. Obviously, she can fill the spot on the ticket. There's no legal question about it whatsoever that any expert thinks is legit. But the president, we've seen him, and this is part of a broader piece, kind of testing gender baiting and race baiting, and now, citizenship, I guess, throughout the week since Harris was named. And this goes to two things. And one is, to sort of confuse or disenfranchise voters. And the other is just to delegitimize both the Biden-Harris ticket and potentially the outcome of the election. There's no evidence that this message is sort of taking root. The two sides have pretty much chosen off. There's not that many like swing voters in the country right now, the polling suggests. And of those who exist, there's no evidence to suggest that their thinking will swing on the basis of whether or not there is a outside theory or fringe theory about, citizenship. But nevertheless, it is yet another message, and it's created yet another distraction that we're covering instead of coronavirus. So it's right. All of a piece.
And Sahil, for that reason, do you expect the Biden campaign to even spend that much time addressing it?
I don't. This is part of a pattern, as Margaret was talking about. The president rarely sees a conspiracy theory about his opponents that he doesn't amplify. And he did this not only with President Obama about a decade ago. He did this with Ted Cruz, who was his Republican primary opponent in the 2016 election. Cruz was born in Canada to an American mother, a Cuban father, a natural born citizen because he was an American at birth. There was no actual question about his ability to serve as president. But Donald Trump kind of amplified this theory the same way he is now. He always presents it as, I'm just asking questions, but he knows exactly the impact of what he's doing. I should say Lindsey Graham, a senator from South Carolina, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, an ally of President Trump, has said there's no question as to whether Kamala Harris can serve. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm just going to quote his tweet here. She was born in the United States in 1964 to parents who were legally present under the Constitution. It's a pre-born president. She's unequivocally an American citizen, unquote. This should not even be an issue.
Well, Sahil and Margaret, I want to ask you about something else. So yesterday, President Trump said maybe wearing masks to stop the spread of COVID-19 is good. That's another mixed message. And Joe Biden spoke about wearing masks yesterday, too. Let's listen.
Be a patriot. Protect your fellow citizens. Protect your fellow citizens. Step up. Do the right thing.
Biden did not say, if elected, that he'd mandate mask wearing by executive order, but he did call on governors to enact rules. Margaret, what does this say about Biden's strategy?
what we can tell now, and it was building before the Harris announcement, but certainly now that he has a running mate in place, as we see their ads moving forward and their messaging moving forward, that litigating President Trump's handling of the coronavirus is going to be like at least a central theme and probably the central theme of the next 2 months, of the end of the final stretch of the campaign. I mean, it is a big deal that Biden has called on governors now to issue a 3-month mandatory outdoor mask mandate, because he is really, you know, putting his bet on the idea that this is something that the American public wants. It's one thing to say you have to wear a mask. It's another thing to try to tell governors what to do. And it's a calculated risk by the Biden campaign that I think is looking at the polling numbers and how Americans feel about the virus and saying that they believe that there is the support for mandates like this that take more drastic action to try to contain what hasn't been contained so far.
Sahil, this actually goes up very much in contrast with Trump's approach.
It absolutely does. And that's what the Biden campaign and Joe Biden are trying to do. They're trying to draw a stark kind of distinguishing feature to the way the president has handled this pandemic, which the Biden campaign says, you know, has been a complete disaster, and the way Joe Biden would handle it. And the single biggest thing is Biden says he would follow the experts. He would follow the science. Experts have widely said that mask wearing helps, especially, you know, especially when you're around people in close quarters. And somehow in the United States, unlike most of the developed world, refusal to wear a mask has become a kind of cultural signaling among the people who tend, you know, who are more likely than not to support President Trump. And the president has been very equivocal about masks at certain points, and he has touted unproven, untested remedies for this virus at various points against the better advice of experts. So I think that's the message that Joe Biden is trying to convey, that the current president is not listening to the experts, not listening to the science, and if you elect Biden, he says he is going to listen to them.
Right. Who would have thought that in 2020, the issue of wearing masks would have been a big political campaign issue, or that the U.S. Post Office would be a big campaign issue? Here, Donald Trump now saying that he will not veto any congressional economic relief deal that includes money that the Democrats want for the post office and mail-in voting in November. Yesterday, however, on Fox News, he seemed pretty happy with the idea of no deal and therefore the idea that the election might be undermined. Let's listen.
If they don't get those two items, that means you can't have universal mail-in voting because they're not equipped to have it.
Margaret, how would you describe this? Is this voter suppression flat out, and does it damage the public's faith in the election?
Yeah, I've been covering politics a long time. Not that much stuff shocks me anymore. I have to admit, I was actually shocked to hear the words come out of his mouth yesterday. And it's turned a tremendous amount of focus and attention now in terms of investigations, in terms of Congress, in terms of, you can imagine, investigative reporters onto the U.S. Postal Service and what is happening now with Louis DeJoy, who was the president's appointee to run the Postal Service, a major Trump donor and somebody with a logistics background, not a Postal Service background, but also someone who is invested in companies, I mean, millions worth in companies that are actually competitors of the U.S. Postal Service. So perhaps he didn't set out to reduce Postal Service funding for election purposes. Perhaps it was just had more of a tie to personal philosophy and business purposes. But obviously, the Postal Service's ability to have not just funding, but equipment, sorting, you know, their supply chain is essential when they're going to have this crush of an increase in mail-in ballots as a result of people's reluctance to go vote in person this year. We're seeing massive numbers, like not quite 1 in 2, but pretty close, of people saying that's how they want to vote this year. And for the Postal Service to have less capacity, less funding, rather than more, is, you know, it's obvious why that's a cause for concern.
But Sahil, what is the truth? Should the American public be worried about the post office's ability to deliver these ballots?
Well, I think for starters, we're in uncharted waters here. We've never had this kind of prevalence of mail-in voting before. It's going to rise at least twofold from the previous election. And in many, many swing states like Pennsylvania and Michigan that aren't very practiced with mail-in voting, they're expecting a massive, massive surge. So The honest answer is we don't know. And there's a very good chance, many election experts have said, that states are under-equipped to handle this at the moment. And the single biggest thing for voters to know is, depending on your state, it's important for all voters to know the rules as to what it takes to have their mail-in ballot counted. Some states, mm-hmm. you have to have it postmarked by a certain date, postmarked potentially by election date or maybe some other date. In other states, it has to arrive by election day. And this is where it gets critical, because if you, for instance, send your ballot 3, 4, 5 days before the election, and suddenly there's this massive surge that the post office cannot handle, and your ballot does not get delivered in time, it may end up not counting. And that's one of the biggest concerns at this moment about these cutbacks that Louis DeJoy has implemented in the Postal Service that could slow down these ballots just in time for the election and potentially, potentially distort the outcome.
Yeah. I sense lawsuits. Sahil Kapoor, national political reporter for NBC News, and Margaret Tolov, politics and White House editor at Axios. Thanks to you both.